morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is Brother Larry, and we're still on the subject of drawing near to Christ because we're talking about the spiritual armor of God. And this is all part and parcel of the armor. It's called the Spirit-filled life. It's calling drawing near to God. Well, there's ever synonym we would like to attach to that. It all comes down to this: putting on the armor of God. And your best place for protection and for God putting his shield in front of you is to be close to him as we walk through this world. So, let's learn some things. This is where I ended last broadcast. Let's learn some things that I must be and do to draw near to the heart of God. Most books start with the doing in order to draw near to God. You can go online teachings, and most of talk about doing something, and that's well and good because we're going to talk about these things. But there is what I consider the essential element in our relationship with Christ, and it's not a secret, but it's also true in our earthly relationships. It's knowing someone in our earth relationships. Knowing someone, it took time to know my wife, and the more I knew her, then I loved her. Then I could love her. And the more I know her, the more I love her. So it is in our spiritual relationship with God the Father in Jesus Christ, which is the Holy Trinity, by the way. Getting to know the one who secured our salvation, and that's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're getting to know who God is and what God has done for us. And to know him, what he's really like. That's the essential element of drawing near to Christ. And that, my friends, is what I've mentioned before. That takes a step of faith in your life. Trusting God for who he is and what he's done. Step of faith. And you learn of him. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. For mine yoke is light and my burden is light and my yoke is easy. It's a yoke, yes, because there's a lot of prohibitions in Scripture, but it's light and it's easy. It's a lot lighter than what the world has and what you have in your own nature, your own sin nature. But nonetheless, if you learn from the Father and from Christ, you get to know what the Father and the Son and the Spirit are like. And there's this love relationship that ensues. And you learn about him, getting to know the one who secured our salvation. When we come to a true understanding of who God is and what he has secured for us and what he has provided for us and how he has loved us, then we'll love him deeper. We love God because he first loved us, the scriptures say. But first of all, God first loved us. So this is what we want to learn about. And that love will go deeper than we've ever done before, we've ever had. In fact, the psalmist says that love surpasses the love of women. Wow. Because it's a perfect and it's a deep love. So this is what Paul refers to. Paul wants us to see in the book of Ephesians, he wants us to look through different lens. And that, again, is in the book of Ephesians. And I hope you have your Bible with you. If you turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And if you'd follow along with me, please. So, I'm talking to Christians, so as you're turning there, Ephesians 1:18, talking to Christians, so you have a different set of eyes now. before you're saved, your eyes were just on yourself, the world, and how Satan controlled it, and you being unaware of that, most probably. But now God says he has opened our eyes. This is what Paul is praying for. He's praying for these Ephesian believers. Ephesians 1:18. It says that the eyes of our heart, remember the Bible talks about a heart, most of the time it's talking about our emotions, our minds, and our wills. It's what makes us a person. The eyes of our heart. Eyes? Our hearts have eyes? Sure they do. God has made us alive now by the Spirit to see things on a spiritual level. Our eyes are open. Because remember, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's continue. The eyes of our heart being enlightened. Brought it to light. That we may know, that word's important, we may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of his glory of inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? See, you weren't aware of these things before you were saved, and I was not aware of these things. But now he has opened our eyes, the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our emotions, mind, and will. Now we can know. Now we can know what are the ways of the world, what are the ways of tactics of Satan, and how we look at ourselves is so important, okay? What does God think of me? What does God think of you? This is important in our battles, because Satan will try to drag you down and say you're worthless, you're nothing. You can't serve Christ. Christ doesn't love you like he loves David Jeremiah. Okay? That's what he'll tell you, and this is what we're battling. So we want to get a right perspective. Our eyes have been enlightened, and we have to know something. Okay? We have to know it. So, let's desire Jesus Christ above all else. Let us have a passion for him. And we read those passages in Proverbs chapter 2. To know him better. God will open our eyes. He's promised to do that. We're going to love him because he first loved us. We're going to see in the book of Ephesians how much he loved us. What it cost for him. So, let's do what Jesus says. Let us hunger and thirst after righteousness. See that desire that's there? Let us hunger and do you have a hunger and thirst after doing right? Doing what the Word of God and the will of God says? No, all these are beatitudes. All these are blessed. This is joy and peace and happiness and contentment he's talking about. Let us hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let us mourn over our sins. So we will be pure of heart. Let us turn to humility and away from our pride. Let us seek to be poor in spirits, seeking our Father who is in heaven. Let us develop a merciful posture in our walk with Christ. If we do these spiritual things, the scriptures tell us that we shall see God. But friends, are we willing to have this relationship? I don't know about you, but just talking to myself like this, I'm convincing myself. I've always been convinced, but if I was sitting on your end of the microphone here, I've convinced myself already. I want to be that way. I want to know Christ. I want to know what he has in store for me. I want to turn from my pride to my humility. I want to quit pretending and playing games with the God of the universe. That is, if you look at that, that's absolutely silly. Okay. Then the scriptures tell us that if we do these things, we shall see God. He will enlighten our hearts. And one day we'll stand in his presence and we'll look at Jesus Christ square in the face. And he'll put his hand on my shoulder. He'll put his hand on your shoulder and say, this is the words I'm looking for. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. All he's trying to make us be is servants. And that takes a lightening of our hearts. We are not the big fish in the pond. We are his servants. We're here to serve others as Jesus did. So let's be willing to do this. That's our biggest desire. Or do we have one foot in the world or and one foot in God's kingdom? Christ is calling us to draw near to his heart that we may really know what it means to be blessed. And as all things we have to talk about, what keeps us from this? From this closeness to God? And it needs to be discussed, my friends, because Paul does it all the time in his letters to the churches. So let me use an illustration. If I want to feel better physically, I go to the doctor and have a diagnosis, correct? And they give me the prescription of what I have to do, maybe a pill I'd have to take, whatever it is. Why is this any different spiritually? So we have to have a diagnosis. Let's find out what may be our problem in keeping ourselves from drawing near to Christ. And it's true that I've hit on many of these things, but not really in depth. Before a cure is remedied, we have to know what is wrong. Is that not correct? That way in the physical world, it's that way in the spiritual world. This is why God has given us the Holy Spirit. He lets us know, hey, something's not in line here. And it's also true in warfare. It's no different. This is what we're talking about. A unit may say, why did we lose this conflict? And how do we make the corrections? We do it in sports. We do it in education. We do it in government. We stop and we diagnose why we failed. And it's not any different in our spiritual life. In fact, Paul says before taking the Lord's Supper that we should examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5, where it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you are not your own self. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. So, and this is a lost command, or could I call it a lost art? The Puritans used to practice this all the time. We said, oh, how morbid they are. No, but they were correct. Always talking about examining yourself. We do well many times examine ourselves whether we are doing these things by faith or not. And a lot of times this will keep us from Satan getting a foothold in our life. We may be things like, well, should I live with this lady? Or the lady says, should I live with this guy? We're both Christians and God will honor it in his sight. And so how do we make those decisions? If it dishonors him, we should examine ourselves, whether that's in the faith. We examine the Word of God. Is that right? Am I under God's protection and blessing if I do this? So these are the questions we must ask ourselves. Examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. And this was asked at communion. Every communion service I go to at my home church, we're always asked, and it should be, examine Christ unworthily. And Paul also makes a statement, this is why some have died. Ah, by doing things unworthily for the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's speak to this issue of why believers are not willing to draw near to the Savior. And the only one we're going to tackle, and I hope I can finish this, I might go a little longer in this broadcast, but the number one reason is this. We'll tackle today is being what the Bible calls double-minded. James says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You hear that? Double-minded man is unstable in all, not just part, in all of his ways. So by looking at the meaning and the consequences of being double-minded, we can arrive at a solution. It's my prayer for all of us that by solving this issue, we'll draw nearer to Jesus Christ. That's my goal, brothers and sisters, to get all of us mature in the body of Christ. And that takes the nearness I'm talking about. We want to come to maturity. We don't always want to stay infants and always be spoon-fed. We need to be feeding ourselves on the Word of God and on the mind of Christ. So hopefully by this solution that we can solve this issue of drawing near to Christ. Why we don't do it? Because it has to do with our resistance to the devil and bringing glory to God in the highest. It also has to do with having joy and peace in our walk with the Lord. Bringing rest instead of being a victim, it helps us be victors. And that's all where we want to come to, is to be victors in the Lord Jesus Christ. We all want to experience God in our life, to know Him, to know His will for our lives. I want to sense His presence, brothers and sisters, in my everyday, every moment life. And you'll hear me stress this over and over. To know that He is near whenever I go, wherever I go, whatever I do. Oh, Brother Larry, you're being a fanatic. Exactly. I'm a fan. That's where the word fanatic comes from. I'm a fan of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and He's my Savior. He's the one who gave me my life. Set my feet on the path to heaven. And I owe Him my all in all. And know that He's near wherever I go, whatever I do. Learning and knowing that He is there, even when I walk through the valley of death, like we all will. I want to be laying on my deathbed, not screaming and kicking. The Lord grants me that request. I want to be laying in my deathbed, being a testimony and seeing the skies of heaven open up and God's angels coming to take me home. And I can die with a smile on my face, knowing that He loves me dearly and that I served Him well. I served Him faithfully. I kept myself near to Him, even though all my failures ever happened. He has forgiven me, and He loves me. My brothers and sisters, if this message blessed you, and I hope that it has, pass it on, and we'll all rejoice in heaven together. Love you and pray for you. In Jesus' name, amen.